In these hills, time don't move the way it does in the city. Some places get left behind, not just by folks, but by the world itself. The air gets heavy, the silence gets loud, and the past, well, the past don't always stay put. These are five ghost towns in Kentucky where history never laid down proper, and the dead might just still be punching the clock. Welcome to Kentucky Melody's Scary Stories from Kentucky, where we spin yarns about ghostly haints, creepy hollers, and spine-chilling legends from deep in the hills. So grab a chair, dim them lights, and let's dig into something spooky. Way down yonder in McCreary County, hiding back where the big South Fork River snakes through the gorge like a black ribbon of sorrow, there used to be a coal town called Blue Heron. Now, the bigwigs up in Stearns, they didn't call it by name. To them, it was just Mine Number 18. But to the folks who lived and bled there, Blue Heron was home. Back in the 1930s and 40s, that little town buzzed with life. Coal dust clung to every board and every man's lungs, but it kept food on the table. Families stayed in company houses, kids ran barefoot through the yards, and the mine never did sleep. The shafts swallowed men every morning and spit them back out at dusk, tired and black as pitch. Coal trains thundered through day and night, like steel dragons carrying the mountain's bones, but just like a fire fed too hard, it didn't last. By 1962, the Stearns Coal and Lumber Company pulled up stakes and left. Just left it. Every nail, every house, every ghost. The homes started to sag, then rot, while the old coal tipple rusted under gray rain. Vines crept over everything, slow and silent, like the holler itself was trying to bury the past. Now, these days, the National Park Service has tried to breathe life back into the bones. They've put up steel frames where houses once stood, like skeletons frozen in time. There's signs explaining history and cheerful guides walking folks around. But no matter how much polish they put on it, something about Blue Heron still feels off, like the air don't sit right on your skin. People have said they've heard the crunch of gravel behind them, plain as day, though they turn around to nothing but mist. Down in that old mine entrance, there's whispers, low and warning, like the walls themselves are muttering secrets. Some folks have seen a dark figure, always just ahead, ducking into the trees before they can get a good look, a miner's shadow still making his rounds. And the strangest thing of all, that lonesome train whistle, sharp and clear, echoing through the gorge. Ain't no tracks left, not for miles, but sometimes, late in the evening, it calls out anyway, like it's still carrying souls out of that holler. They say them men who died down in them shafts never did clock out, and some folks reckon that mine still hungers. Out west in Muhlenberg County, sitting quiet alongside the Green River, there used to be a little town by the name of Paradise. It weren't much to look at from the outside, just a simple river town built on coal, hard work, and neighborly ties. The kind of place where folks knew your name and what kind of pie your granny made come Sunday supper. The church bell rang out across the water, kids played barefoot in the mud, and the coal trains rolled slow through the trees like giants taking a nap. But in the 1960s, something darker came creeping. The Tennessee Valley Authority rolled in like a storm, with promises of progress and power. They planted a coal-fired power plant right across the river, belching smoke and ash into the sky till the air itself turned heavy and gray. The dust settled on porches, on laundry hanging to dry, on folks' lungs. The green hills started to look sick, and the river, she ran slower, quieter, like she knew what was coming. TVA offered to buy the town out, said it was the only way. By the time the 1970s rolled around, Paradise was just a memory. The homes were bulldozed, one after another, like erasing chapters from a book. Families packed what they could, left behind what they couldn't. Even the graveyard was moved, or most of it. Folks still wonder if every soul made that trip. Nowadays, all that remains is a lonesome roadside marker, a few old stones left behind like teeth in the dirt, and the Green River herself, winding past the place where Paradise once stood, slow and too quiet. Too quiet by half. Visitors still come by now and then, drawn by stories or songs, and some say they've heard strange things down there by the water. There's tales of church bells ringing, even though there ain't no church left to speak of. Some have heard laughter carrying over the river at dusk. Laughter and old hymns, like a Sunday service still lingering in the air. Then there's the girl. Folks say there's a young girl in a white dress, seen standing knee-deep in the river, looking lost. She don't speak. She don't move. She just fades, slow as breath, like mist burning off the water in the morning. And even if you don't see nothing, most folks will tell you, you'll feel it. That unshakable sense that something's watching you. Maybe from the trees, maybe from beneath the muddy water. Either way, it ain't gone. John Prine sang it plain. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away, but ask anyone who lives nearby, and they'll tell you. Paradise might be gone on paper, but there's something still lingering down there, waiting, watching. Way back in the thick woods of Carter County, where the hills roll like sleeping giants, and the roads twist like they're hiding secrets, there's a place folks don't much talk about no more. The remnants of a little town called Lawton. Now, Lawton weren't ever a big place, just a dot on a map, if that. But it had a mine, and like most towns in these parts, that mine was the heartbeat. First, they pulled iron from the earth, rough, red ore that stained everything it touched. Men worked it with blood and sweat, hauling it out one rusty chunk at a time. But when the iron ran out, they didn't walk away. No, sir, they got clever. Somebody got it in their head to grow mushrooms down there in the dark. Said the tunnels were damp and cool, perfect for farming fungus. But folks say the cold never left, not just the kind that nips at your skin. Something deeper, something older. The mine's sealed now, or supposed to be. Trees have taken back the land, and what was once Lawton has all but vanished into the underbrush. If you ain't looking for it, you drive right by. But people still go wandering up that way, drawn in by curiosity or maybe something else. And now and then, they come back, shaking their heads, pale in the face, swearing they won't go near it again. They speak of winds that come rushing from the mine's mouth, even though the shaft's been closed for years. Winds that ain't got no business blowing, carrying the scent of earth and rot. There's been tales of a long, low howl drifting up from deep underground. Not an animal, not any machine, just something, breathing, moving slow, waiting. One fella claimed he saw a figure inside, crouched low just beyond the seal. Said it wore an old miner's helmet, but its face, if it had one, was smooth and blank, like it had been wiped clean. Didn't move, didn't blink, just sat there in the dark, watching. And then there's the fog. Folks say, just before sunrise, a pale mist sometimes rolls out of the shaft like the mine's exhaling. And in that fog, you might hear voices. Not clear, not loud, more like murmurs slipping past your ears. Praying, crying, calling for help. Ain't no way to make sense of it, and maybe that's for the best. Local hunters, tough as old pine knots, won't step foot near that mine after dark. They say there's something wrong with that place, not just haunted, alive. And worse than that, it remembers. Now, back over in McCreary County, not too far from the ghost bones of Blue Heron, there's another place where the coal once ran black and deep. It's called Barthel, a name that still lingers like coal dust in the lungs. Started way back in 1902. It was the first coal camp ever run by the Stearns Coal and Lumber Company. They cut it right out of the hillside, like they was carving a town out of the mountain's flesh. Barthel had it all. Two big mines digging into the earth. Rows of cabins lined up like teeth. A commissary where folks would trade scrip for flour or lamp oil. A one-room schoolhouse full of chalk dust and hollering young'uns. And even a doctor's office for when the shafts got mean. For a while, it was its own little world, tucked back in the hollers, breathing coal smoke and hard work. But by the 1950s, the veins of coal started running thin, and one by one, families packed up what they could and left the rest to the trees. The mines were shut down, the tracks quieted, and the woods crept back in, swallowing the town like the hills were trying to forget. These days, Barthel's been partly brought back, not as a town, but as a tourist stop. They rebuilt some of the cabins, laid fresh rail where the old steel once rattled, even set up little tours for folks wanting a taste of Appalachian history. But not everything that came back easy. See? There's things folks feel when they step onto that old ground. The kind of things that make the hair on your arms stand up before your brain's even caught up. Some will tell you about feeling sudden cold inside the cabins. Deep chill, bone deep, even when the July sun's beating down like a furnace. Others have seen lights flickering through the trees after dark, like lanterns swinging low, moving steady, but there ain't no one there carrying them. More than one visitor spotted a man at the tree line, standing still as stone, wearing a blackened miner's uniform, the soot baked right into the cloth. He don't move, he don't speak, he just watches. And then there's some voices. Oh Lord, the voices. Always coming from down in the mine. Some soft and sad, like praying. Others desperate, begging to be heard, and sometimes screaming. Not loud, but sharp enough to cut through the night like a splinter in your soul. Tour guides swear they lock the doors at night, only to come back in the morning and find them hanging wide open. Tools shift without hands. Lights flicker without reason. It's like the ground itself never settled under Barthel. Like it remembers every life it took, and ain't done remembering yet. And finally, down in the farthest reach of Bell County, tucked where the mountain hollers grow tight and the trees press in close, there used to be a coal camp by the name of Packard. Most folks alive today never even heard of it. It's been gone so long, the name's nearly vanished from maps and memory alike. But if you dig around, you'll find it was founded in the early 1900s, born out of black rock and grit like so many others. It burned bright and fast. The coal was rich and the work was steady. Families carved out lives between the shafts and the sawdust. Kids played under the shadow of smokestacks, and the company man always got his due. But when the coal veins dried up, the company didn't stick around. They packed up their ledgers and their promises and left. And soon after, the folks followed. But the land, well, it didn't let go so easy. What's left of Packard now is buried under moss and time. Rotted cabin walls lean like drunkards in the trees. stone foundations peek through the undergrowth like bones, and the old mine mouth still gapes open, dark, damp, and quiet as a grave. It should have collapsed in on itself years ago, but somehow it holds, like something's still breathing down there. Folks who wander too close, hikers, campers, the occasional ghost hunter, looking for a thrill, they come back different, if they come back at all. Some say there's a strange glow that floats over the mine come nightfall, blue-green and flickering like fireflies caught in a jar. Others heard children laughing in the woods, light and carefree, until the laughing stops all at once, and the silence falls thick enough to choke on. And then there's the figure. Tall, too tall, pale as limestone, standing just off the trail watching. Eyes catch the light like a deer's, but it don't move like no animal. Don't move like a man either. It just waits. One camper, and he won't go back, not for love nor money. Swears the woods turned on him. Said the trail folded in on itself, trees shifting just enough to keep him going in circles, like the mountain was rearranging itself to keep him there. Packard don't welcome visitors. Never did, really. The mountain takes what it wants, and if the stories are true, it still ain't full. Some say the mine's calling folk back. Others reckon what's down there never left. Whatever the truth is, best you keep moving. Don't linger too long in them woods, 'cause in Packard, the past ain't buried. It's waiting. Now, Kentucky's full of forgotten places. The map may say they're gone, the mines might be sealed shut, and the houses left in splinters. But out here, tucked in the ridges and down in the hollers, the land remembers. The dead don't always rest easy. And the past, it don't take kindly to being buried. Sometimes a place dies so hard, its soul don't move on, it just lingers, stuck in the mud, in the stone, in the wind that don't blow right. So if you ever find yourself wandering near one of these old towns and a chill creeps up the back of your neck, don't brush it off. That ain't just the wind, friend, that's Kentucky, whispering through the holler. So, now that you know, have you ever been somewhere that felt wrong, even when nothing was there? Maybe an old trail, a dead-end road, or a cabin that shouldn't have had the lights on? Tell us about it, if you dare. We read every story, even the ones that keep us up at night. Here on Kentucky Melody, we don't just tell ghost stories. We listen for the ones the land's still trying to tell, from lost towns and restless hills to the shadows hiding just past the tree line. We're bringing you the haunted heart of Kentucky, one whisper at a time. So, the dark don't stop here. Another place is waiting, buried in moss, soaked in silence, still breathing. So, keep your lantern lit, and follow us into the next one before the night finds you first.